Welcome to Across the Desk, where we discuss entrepreneurship, small business, and everything in between. Hi, it's Elizabeth Plouffe, and welcome to Entrepreneurial End Trails and Across the Desk. And today I'm going to be chatting to you about an amazing event that I went to today. I belong to the Women's Professional Network through the De Groot School of Business here in Burlington. And if you're a woman in business here in the Halton area, I strongly suggest that you check it out. It's not only a great opportunity to network with other women in business, but it's also an opportunity to take advantage of the amazing events that they put on. And today was one that I don't think was part of the Women in Business Network. It was just part of their ongoing business education. And it was fantastic. It was a digital marketing expert panel. And I'll read you just a quick overview here. Digital marketing is more than a buzzword, but it's also not a replacement for your traditional marketing efforts. It's a new approach that's disrupting the industry by changing how you connect with your customers. Roll up your sleeves and join us at the Ron Joyce Center today. Our panel of experts will be discussing and answering questions on topics such as practical tips for using digital marketing strategically, how to stay competitive in a digital economy, the integration of traditional and digital marketing, how to position and prepare content for multiple platforms, how to build an authentic brand, and the challenges of managing digital properties. And it was sold out. It was absolutely sold out. And a terrific panel. There was Danielle Guzman, who's the global head of social media and distributed content for Mercer. Not quite sure who that is, but we'll find out. And then there was Martin Waxman, who is a lynda.com instructor and president of Martin Waxman Communications. Also teaches at Seneca, which is one of my alma maters, so that was kind of cool. Jared Lenover is the marketing and communications strategist, De Groot School of Business, social media instructor, and part of the McMaster University Center for Continuing Education. And the facilitator or moderator was Mandeep Malik, who is the assistant professor of marketing for the Groot School of Business. He was freaking hysterical. It was a really well-run panel. There was a lot of amazing information. Christine Ledbetter is the organizer for these events, and she always delivers a terrific event. Although I do have to say, trying to eat tacos with your fingers and then shake hands and be social was a little bit aco taco, to use that phrase. But overall, amazing event. So I ended up taking 3 pages of notes at this event and just really impressed with the delivery by the panel and the moderating job that Mr. Malik did. And so here's some of the nuggets that I brought out. And there's a reason, trust me, towards the end of why I'm sharing the nuggets with you. So one of the key points that got kicked off, and I think it was Martin Waxman who said this, was how do your customers seek their information? So if you want to try and find where your customers are, you know, where do they go to find out about you? Where are they searching? Are you even aware of that or making the effort to know about that? And Danielle Guzman made a really valid point, and she comes from the world of traditional marketing, from what I heard. And she made a really key point that traditions definitely still have a place in marketing overall for an organization. But just because they are traditions doesn't mean you have to stay there. You can start embracing and encouraging your organization to move towards some strategic digital marketing tools and making sure that they're using them effectively and not necessarily supplanting your traditional tactics, because if your audience is, you know, 60 plus, while there is a definite move towards engaging online, they still seem to trend towards traditional forms of media. So the newspaper, magazines, those types of things. I myself am a paper enthusiast. Absolutely love reading real books. Cannot stand Kudo or reading online. Love magazines. I love the feel of paper. I actually just purchased a 104-year-old copy of Much Ado About Nothing by Shakespeare. And it's just a beautiful little book. And those ideas will be around paper form, you know, forever. Yes, they degrade and what have you, but I'm not going to find information 50 years from now necessarily that is going to engage me online, right? Anyway, still a paper girl. So some of the other things, Danielle Guzman also made a really important point, and she talked about shadow marketers and how if you empower and engage your employees, they will then become a part of your marketing team that's largely underutilized. If you have passionate members of your team for your organization and you're not giving them ways to engage on behalf of the company, you're really wasting the effort and the enthusiasm by those members. You could be doubling and tripling your reach because they are coming up with fresh ideas and potentially they're connecting it to their own personal social media channels, which may not be extensive in the grand scheme of things, but more is always better. And she talked here about how to connect employees to the online engagement options and create a reason for them to care, which is really important. It's not enough to just tell somebody they have to because it's part of their job. There was a situation at the Women in Tech meeting on Tuesday, and one of the members there, lovely, lovely woman, she's in the financial tech development industry, which I know medium amount about, but she was told to set up a Facebook page. And I could tell by the way she was sharing the story that this wasn't comfortable for her and this wasn't something that she was going to engage with. She wasn't particularly active personally on Facebook. She wasn't particularly active personally online. And so we started chatting. And I said, you know what? Facebook is a fantastic platform if it's where you want to be and if it's where you're going to engage on a regular basis. But if you just set up a page because you're told to, you're actually doing your business more harm than good. And I recognize that there's a positive impact as far as being found with SEO and it increases your online footprint a little bit. But if you're never putting content up, if you're never having people engage on your page, then those likes are useless. And anybody who tells you differently is trying to sell you a bill of goods. Likes are only as valuable as the number of people who correspondingly engage with content that you're sharing. I invite people all the time to come and like my page. That doesn't mean they're ever going to hit it again. And that's okay. If I'm not providing content or engaging things that works for them, I don't want them to come back. I don't want them to waste their time on my thing. But if I'm providing content that's useful to you and gives you ideas and whatever, fantastic. Please like what I share. Please comment. But those initial likes, that count, means next to nothing if you're not providing any reason for people to come and stay on your Facebook page. And if I visit a page, and being in the industry, I'm probably a little more, you know, critical or what have you, and there's nothing there, no photos, no comments, hasn't been any action for 2 years, then again, that person's just doing more harm than good. So I advised her to, you know what, to hide it for now until she figures out a content strategy. And that, I think, is one of the things that I took away from today as well, was if you don't have a strategy in place to handle certain things for your communications, when they come up, you could be in big trouble. And so for an example, starting a Facebook page for your business before you've had a moment to sit down and think about what you actually want to do with it, how you're going to engage with it, where you're going to get content from, all of those things, it stresses you out. For the most part, the business owners that I've worked with create the platforms and then think about how they're going to engage after. And that's a bit bass-ackwards and can be detrimental. It can put you in a state of analysis by paralysis because then you get stuck in the whole, how am I going to get content and what do I do and who do I talk to and, you know, all those things. So take a moment before you press, you know, publish or post or whatever for your pages and think about what you're going to put up there. And if the answer is, I got nothing, then hang on. Don't put the page out there because it's going to stress you out too that this page is hanging there and nothing's happening with it. If you need to, look into your network. See if somebody does communications. See if somebody is a strategist and, you know, ask them for an hour of their time. At least they could provide you a foundation where you could move forward, right? And anybody who's worth their salt is going to say, you know what, an hour, happy to help you out. No big deal. Pay for my coffee, pay for my lunch, whatever. Perfect. So one of the other things that came up around this strategy, Jared shared a really terrific story. And he was asked by the moderator, Mandeep, to share a fail, to share a time where something that he had done didn't work out. And he shared how McMaster had shared this article. That's a lot of sharing in one sentence. How they had posted this article about women in leadership positions and all this stuff. And the title of it basically intimated that women make better decisions than men, which is, you know, a hot button topic overall. But when you're putting that out on behalf of a major, I believe McMaster, Mandeep said, is number three in the world. You got to be really careful. And that started prompting me thinking about risk management as part of your communication strategy. And do you actually put that in place? And I will confess that up until now, I haven't really considered that as part of the communication services that I offer. But it really got me thinking. I'm trained in risk management. I'm trained in strategic response and all that from a communications perspective. And so at the end, when they were asking questions, or you're allowed to ask questions, and De Groot started doing this really cool thing called a speaker box. And it's a foam-covered speaker that you can chuck around, which I'm going to recommend to so many different clients because it was really fun. I asked Jared about creating that risk analysis and that risk management, and he gave a terrific answer. And then I asked about what do you do for your employees? You know, how do you get them being very proactive when they see something negative, you know, brewing up on your social media? And Danielle jumped in as well, and they just gave terrific responses around how having those discussions, being preemptive in your social media strategy around risk assessment and risk prevention and risk management was really quite integral. And Jared even admitted that they didn't really have a risk management policy in place until the brouhaha from this article happened. So it was really interesting, got me thinking about stuff that I'm going to create for my clients to make sure that they can handle stuff. And if I need to jump in, I'm really clear on what they want me to do. So some of the other things that they brought up, which were really amazing. Somebody was at a workshop. Mr. Malik was at a workshop, and somebody asked one of the speakers, you know, what book should I read around communications? And he turned and he said, The Art of War. And the reason he said that is because a lot of the strategy terminology that's used when you're creating a communication strategy is actually what you use in war. The word strategy itself, the word target, and they brought up some other words as well, but I thought, wow. And one of the aha moments was when you use that kind of marketing terminology, you're actually turning your audience into an enemy. You're treating them like an enemy, because you're targeting them and all these other things. And that was huge. And Danielle Guzman said something, and I have to find, she said, how do you create a thumb-stopping moment? And that was a real light bulb for me, because it's so true. You know, we forget how much people are engaging on their phones and, you know, how they don't want to be interrupted. And if you're trying to promote a product or service, that's your whole goal. You need to interrupt them and get them, you know, stopping their thumbs so that they're paying attention to what it is you're trying to say to them. And hopefully, and each member of the panel, I think, actually brought this up. Hopefully, what you're trying to do is create a conversation, and you're speaking with people, not at people. Because in this day and age, there's enough knowledge about the power of conversation that if you jump from conversation straight into heavy selling, or you don't even try to have a conversation, you don't even try to share a story, you just jump straight into the, you know, buy my widget, people are turned off. People aren't liking it. They want you to, you know, to court them a little bit and share the story and build the relationship with them. And when you don't do that, that's when your sales funnel dries up. You know, when you're desperately grasping onto people and you're, you know, barraging them with asks before you've even provided anything of value to them, that's very negative. It's not good for your business. And if you're in a desperate situation with your business, I can see how you think you need to do that. Totally understand that. But please, you know, if you need support or help or whatever with your business and things are tanking a little bit, do yourself a favor, hire a professional, be it a coach, business development person, whatever, and get them to get you out of you're going to say off the ledge, so that you're not resorting to desperate tactics and the constant ask before you've even provided anything for them. People see through that in a heartbeat and they run, because if you're desperately grasping, you know, why aren't you busy? Why aren't you, you know, providing the service that you're supposed to? All of those things go through their head, and it can shut you down before you even start. So a few other bits and pieces here. Danielle made a really valid point. She said, creating conversations isn't free because time is money, but it is time well spent. The long-term metrics around creating conversations, and I'm so glad that metrics came up, because it really aggravates me when communications people say, oh, I can provide you metrics on this, 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 this. It is really hard, and this entire panel agreed, it is really hard to provide true metrics on online engagement and how that converts into leads. You know, you can get people to the website, but are they necessarily converting into connecting with you and what have you? And when people say, I can guarantee you, you're going to get an increase in traffic and that's going to convert to leads, and by getting you to 3,000 followers on Instagram, that's going to get whatever. That's a load of crap, right? You absolutely should set down targets. You should absolutely, and I don't mean people, but I mean you're going to share a certain amount of content per week and those types of things. Measure on those. Yes, absolutely. Watch your engagement. Absolutely. Check your analytics in the background on your website so that you can see where people are coming from and what they're reacting to. 100%. But you should never guarantee that that's going to turn into business. What you are trying to do, as this expert panel has said, and which I've been saying forever, is you are increasing awareness of your business. And that by default is positive, unless you suck at your business, and then, you know, nothing I can do to help you there. But if you are building your story and building your brand, and you are authentically engaging with your potential audience, then sometimes increasing your brand awareness is 10 steps farther than you were before. And that's a terrific metric right there. You know, if you notice that people are following you more, if you notice that people are engaging a little more, if they're commenting on your content and those types of things, then you're getting into their consciousness. You are creating a thumb-stopping moment where they are reading what you've shared, watching whatever video you've created, whatever. And then you've impacted them. You know, you've got them thinking, and they've taken a moment to pause and engage with what you've done. That right there, terrific metric. That's what I balance it by. If people are commenting and engaging and actually doing it, that means something. Likes mean pretty much squat. So, and you can argue. I've had people argue with me with that before, but you know, that's my goal. So one of the last things that was a really interesting thing was how you organically grow your audience. And Gary Vee said this a while ago, and I actually wrote it on a sticky point or sticky gallywogs. It's a long day today, I gotta tell you. A post-it note, and posted it in my office because I was looking at these platforms and these organizations, and I had thousands and thousands of followers. But then when you went and checked out their content, which was this expert panel's point as well, especially Danielle Guzman, they've got no likes. Like there's, and I don't mean likes on the initial page, but nobody's engaging with their content. Nobody's commenting, nobody's sharing, nobody's doing anything with their content. So when you see this huge disconnect between the number of people that are apparently following this particular organization or individual and nothing happening when they share some content, you know that's a bot list. You know that they have bought those likes, which turn into nothing. And she says organic equals owning the audience, meaning that they have bought into your story. They like what you're talking about. They want to support your organization, maybe buy from you, whatever that means. But when you buy a list, which I don't even know if you can do anymore. Maybe you can. I've never looked at it. You're renting the audience. And when you rent something, it gets returned. They're not engaged. They're not buying into what you're doing. you've just annoyed people because you've purchased their information and now you're throwing stuff at them. It's like going out on a first date and, you know, copping a feel. It's not okay. It is socially unacceptable to do that. So going down the end, the risk management was something that I hugely got out of this. And, you know, being really clear in your conversation, making sure that if all you've got is being clever in your marketing, that you're really not offering anything of value and you maybe need to step back and assess what kind of support you need as far as creating an effective communication strategy. And overall, I just really love the McMaster events. I love what the DeGroote School of Business puts on. I met Blair and Andrew today from Terra Greenhouses. They were terrific to talk to. I met a few other people. I'm sorry, I can't remember everybody's name. Holly Simmons was there from Golden Lasso. I met her friend Celia. There was a lovely lady that connected on Twitter. It's a value to go to events like this, to build your business, to learn, to borrow on the social proof of something like the DeGroote School of Business, where you're attending quality events and continuing to educate yourself for the sake of your client. I highly recommend it. I highly recommend that you look around your neighborhood, see if there's a respected institution that's offering trainings, and every couple of months, head out. You know, improve your brain, improve what you can do for your clients. You can end up being of better service to them because you've taken this time, and then you share the information and you pass it on. So that's my wise words for today would be, if you haven't attended a decent workshop that you have to pay for in a while, just start looking around. It's not only an opportunity to learn and broaden your knowledge, but it's an opportunity to broaden your network, and it can be a shit ton of fun. So maybe make that your New Year's resolution, one that you'll actually keep instead of falling off the learning wagon. So that's it for today. If you have any comments about, you know, what I've had to say, you know, the risk management, just going through my notes again, or, you know, how you've created shadow marketers in your organization or what you do to manage the conversation by being clear and not just clever, then I'd love to hear from you. Leave a comment, let me know. And that's it. It's Friday here. It's Friday and it's December 1st, which is crazy. It's already getting close. 23 days till Christmas Eve? Ah! I should probably start doing some shopping. Anyway, have a great day, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. I really appreciate your time. You can check me out on mcvcommunications.ca. It's currently undergoing a redesign, so you'll see some new stuff coming out soon. You can check me out on Twitter at mcvcoms with an S, or Instagram at mcvcommunications and see what kind of story I'm sharing. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Across the Desk. You can follow me on Twitter at mcvcoms, Instagram at mcvcommunications, or visit mcvcommunications.ca to see where else I'm hiding out.